Will you join me in a moment of prayer, please? Spirit of life and love that flows over us. Ruach, divine breath that lifts us, moves us, and shapes us. God of transitions, thresholds, and in-between places. Help us to see who we are, who we may become. Inspire us to aspire, to create, to help make the world a better place in which all of us may live together. Help us to know that we are created in goodness, and grant us an awareness of your presence near, moving in us, around us, and through us. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. Amen. Beaches, where a lot of people may be today. Why do beaches fascinate us so? Draw us, call us. They are indeed liminal places, a place where one thing meets another thing, a place where the land meets the sea. And the beach, an in-between place. It's a place where both land and sea kind of coexist for a time. A place that's similar to both, but unlike either. A threshold, a place of transition. Now, the ancient Celtic people had a saying that heaven and earth are only 3 feet apart, but that there are places where that distance is much shorter, and such places are called thin places, places where heaven and earth almost seem to touch, places where we may experience the presence of divinity much more readily, and I think beaches are such places. One of the many things that I enjoy about a sermon series is that it often leads me to step outside of the Revised Common Lectionary, bless its heart, or the list of scriptures. Those are the ones that are prescribed for a given Sunday. Now, there's no rule that says that it has to be followed, but it does provide a good beginning. And it also provides some sense of commonality and relationship between churches. Denominations that may agree on little or nothing else may at least be exploring at least one of the same scripture passages each Sunday, with the lectionary providing a selected passage or a pericope, one reading from the Hebrew Bible, one from the Gospel, one from the Psalms, and one from the epistles or the letters. The lectionary cycle lasts 3 years, which is a way one may go through all the high points of the entire Bible every 3 years. Now, some churches use 2 readings each Sunday, and indeed, some churches use all 4 readings each Sunday. My tradition, and the tradition of some MCCs, is generally to use 1 reading from the Bible and to pair it up in some fashion with another or a contemporary reading. Now, this helps marry ancient with the contemporary, drawing out things from ancient scripture that indeed have application to our current daily lives. It is also a means by which to expose people to a broader swath of current theological thought, and maybe, just maybe, to encourage people to explore a little more on their own, to expand their horizons, to step onto the beach of their beliefs and to gaze at what lies beyond. To maybe read a little Walter Brueggemann, Thomas Merton, Richard Rohr, Joan Chittister, Barbara Brown Taylor, and to experience the sensation that God is still speaking, if only we were still listening. And by reading the words of some of those who I feel are still listening, then perhaps by doing so, we become better listeners ourselves. Our ears and our eyes, our skin, all our senses are better attuned to the presence of the divine in all things. Now, the passage that I selected today to begin our journey through the beaches of the Bible takes us back to the beginning. To Genesis, to the very first verse of the first chapter of the first book of the Hebrew Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, that's a familiar phrase. However, the original Hebrew is slightly different, and it skews more toward the following translation, which is the one I made use of in the reading today. In the beginning of God creating the heavens and the earth. In the beginning of God creating the heavens and the earth. Now, the difference is ever so small. Very slight variation of word and tense. But it also implies that the beginning of God creating the heavens and the earth was not actually the beginning of everything. Just the beginning of creating our own little world. Now, I always found that subtle difference interesting, encouraging, very cosmic, and very significant, as if maybe, like Star Wars, there's actually a prequel out there somewhere. I also made use of the original Hebrew word used for God in this passage, Elohim, a name of God unique to Hebraic thought. It is the plural of El, which is the standard singular for God in Aramaic. Elohim, it's a fuzzy kind of word. Is it plural in the sense of power, like royal, like the royal we, to designate majesty? Bigness? Is it one representing over many? Or is it some other kind of plurality? A lot of ink has been spilled over that. Let it suffice to say that we don't know. Now, as one who loves words, the other thing that interests me is the importance of the word, of God thinking and speaking everything into creation. Doing so with the word. Now, there can be some discussion as to exactly what the word is and what it means. But to a comparative religions geek like me, I can't help but notice the similarity to other religious traditions, those which have creation being spoken into existence. Hinduism, for example, with the sound of creation, the Om. With the Creator God speaking the world into existence, causing it to spring forth from darkness, the music of the energy of creation still reverberating through the cosmos in the echo of that sound. Om. Our words matter. We can create with our thoughts and our words. We can create our reality, the world in which we live, with our thoughts and our words. We can turn the world around. We can also turn it upside down with our words. As such, they should be used very carefully. We should create very carefully, because something else we hear in Genesis, that first beach, that place where first land met the first sea, we hear that it was good. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh, that was a weak one. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There you go. We know that it was good. For reasons chemical, biological, emotional, physical, and spiritual. It is good. It's very good. And its creation was deemed good. Blessed by God, who said, "This is good." The second reading today is from Matthew Fox, a priest and theologian. He is at the forefront of reviving Western Christianity, reminding it of the beauty, power, and energy of creation. It's called Creation Theology or Creation Spirituality, and it draws on many Christian mystics. Francis of Assisi, Thomas Aquinas, Hildegard of Bingen, Julian of Norwich, and it is closely aligned with environmental movements, and it embraces other religious traditions, seeking to find common ground among them. And at the heart of this movement is the concept of original blessing. Original blessing. How many have heard of original sin? Raise your hand, don't be afraid. How many have heard of original blessing? Now that right there, that right there says something very, very important about the way and the theological environment in which we were raised in the Western world. If you didn't see it, I think there were only two hands that were raised. And that does make the point. Our very beginnings have been shaped with the thought of something rotten at the core. So many of us have been taught that our beginnings began with sin. That we have in us from the beginning this wickedness. And God is needed to sort things out. And yet at creation, at the first beach, God says, hey, it's good. It's all good. God blesses it. Genesis is full of goodness. Creation is full of goodness. We are full of goodness. Creation theology calls us to the beauty, power, and energy of creation and the concept of original blessing. Think about this for a moment. Religion can be used to make one feel good about oneself or to make one feel bad about oneself. It may matter less about what one is doing as long as one is feeling righteous about doing it. The Westboro Baptist people feel righteous as they preach hate. Hate focused on the GLBTIQ communities. In fact, we're seeing a sort of revival of hate these days. All sorts of hate. People preaching it with righteousness. Using religion to justify their hate. And looking like they feel pretty good and righteous about doing it. Now, I try very hard not to cast stones at other people's beliefs. But such a concept of religion is pretty twisted. Just like other twisted branches of other religious traditions, those that claim their sacred texts preach killing in the name of God. Killing people to defend God's honor. Well, that's a pretty puny God, isn't it? God who needs to be defended by somebody with a knife, with a machete, with a gun, with a bomb. We have to be careful with our words. For there is power in them. God gathered the waters and spoke the dry ground to appear, and so it was. The first beach, and God saw that it was good. Do you remember your first beach? I remember mine, my first real beach, Virginia Beach. It was in the mid-1960s, the General Conference of the United Methodist Church, and Mom had opted to join my father, which meant bringing with her me and my sister. She was a brave mother. Now, I don't remember a lot about that trip, but I remember that the journey was long. We traveled from Covington, Virginia, in Dad's 1960 Dodge Dart. Which was big as a Cadillac, but not nearly so well-powered or equipped. Now, I remember we went following a few other cars filled with church members, and the person in the lead got a little misplaced, and we got very lost at the beach. I do not think that we arrived at the hotel until 3 in the morning. It's all a big blur to me. Now, that night, I could just hear it. I could hear the ocean. The rush and the roar and the darkness. What a mystery. What a scary mystery. Trying to imagine what it might look like. And not even being close. To hear something so powerful, so unknown in the darkness. The thing I remember most about the trip is my first look at the ocean. The next morning, I was stunned. I was dazed. I was mesmerized. I was breathless. And a part of me opened up inside. And it is a part of me that remains open to this day. I just stood and looked in wonder for a very long time, trying to take it all in. The immenseness, the unending horizon, hearing the waves roll in. And the sound of them lapping on the flat, sandy beach. The rhythm like the heartbeat of the earth. Then I began to walk forward and to wade in the water. And to feel it against my legs. The smell and the taste of salt water thick in the air. And I can still, to this day, close my eyes and be right there. Now, it happened some 50 years ago. But when I recall it, it is now. And as sure as I'm standing here right now, I can promise you that right now, I am also there. In the middle of a liminal space. A young child, so wonderfully alive. I also recall my dad making a sermon out of it. Now, to him, the world was a sermon. The world was a sermon, the best sermon, the first sermon. He told me to look and see that the ocean is bigger than we can possibly imagine. So big that I couldn't see it all. And yet, I could still feel it. I could still taste it. I could still experience it. And then Dad sat down next to me and he said, "You can't see it all. But if we dig down deep, deep inside." And he began to dig into the sand of the beach, deeper and deeper until it began to fill with water, with the ocean. And Dad said, "Bigger than you can imagine, and yet, right here, it is in front of you. If you dig down deep enough, you can feel it. God is like that." That first beach, I have never forgotten my first beach. I became a part of something much larger than me on that day. And I've never forgotten it. And it was good. It was very good. I think beaches remind us of the places where what we know meets the unknown, where certainty meets the mysterious, the unfathomable, places where the solid meets the fluid. Even the beach itself is solid, but not quite. A bit of land, yet one shaped with the touch of the ocean, the caress and motion of the waves, the rhythm of life and the movement of the tides. Tides driven by the cosmos, a celestial body, the moon hanging in our sky. Thin places. For me, it's that 3-foot stretch of wet beach, the first beach where the waves first lapped at my feet. And I came face to face with something much larger than myself. Close enough to touch and to be touched by it. Apart from it and yet forever a part of it. And it was good. It is still good. Very good. It is my hope and prayer that your first beach was just as good as mine. And as good as the very first beach of all creation. May it be so.